This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Fox talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town's stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Water Toaster. Oh, it's my mate, Water Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's my mate, Water Toaster. Oh, toaster for my love, thank God, toaster.
Hello, toasters. Welcome along. We are going again. It's a Thursday episode. It is Toasted. This is the episode where, whilst I don't have an actual guest here, I do have the memory of the guest. I do have the shopping history of the guest. And I do have an excellent guest who, once again, somehow I've managed to book through thick and thin, a lot of negotiations. I went to their agent. They came back to me. I should stop this joke. Hello to my wife, Beth Murray.
Hello.
Hello to the Sunday Times top 10 best-selling author, Beth Murray. Is that how you want me to be introduced? To introduce you?
Yes, because me turning up like this suggests I have nothing better to do. So I want to reassure people I do have better things to do. I'm being kind.
Yeah, funny you should say that, actually. Funny you should say that. But the thing you said just before we started recording was, hurry up, I need to be in the pool by 10:30. You literally said that. You are such a woman of the people.
My swims are very important for my mental health.
They are, and they're very worthwhile, and they're very good. And also, do listen to Wild Swimming Wangers, which is your... I'd say your rival podcast to My Mate Bought a Toaster.
No, not rivals. We're far ahead of you.
Ah, yeah. You are number one in the swimming charts.
Which is no, we're not actually at the moment.
Oh, aren't you?
We will hit the heights again, don't you worry.
Good. All right. So listen, we're going to go through a couple of episodes. We had, week before last, the brilliant Clean Bandit. Now, first of all, the only reason... I mean, I knew who they were. I knew the name. I didn't realise I knew their music until I realised they did I Just Want to Be Part of Your Symphony.
Yeah. So
Strictly.
I hadn't heard of them, but then I haven't heard of anyone because I only listen to dead people.
Anything past Billie Holiday and you're done.
Exactly. Yeah. But I hadn't heard of them. But of course, when I listened to the episode and I heard you play little bits of the music, I was like, oh my God.
It's them. They're amazing.
It's them.
They're super young. They're super young and talented. They're really cool.
Hang on. Are they... I when I was listening to them, I thought they sounded incredibly young. Yeah. But then obviously I looked them up and went down a rabbit hole and they're not quite as young as I assumed.
Well,
like they're grown-ups.
We're ancient. So maybe
they're grown-ups.
Anyone under 50 is young. They're grown-ups. Yeah, they're grown-ups. But
they're like late 30s, aren't they?
No. They're younger than that. Oh my God. How old are Clean Bandit?
I did look this up, so I'm fairly sure I'm right.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Grace is older than you think she is.
Is it because
she just sounds so young and looks young as well.
I thought she was like...
There you go. 28. I told you.
She's not. She is in her... Because I'm not going to age a lady. I still have some class. I'm going to say she's in her mid to very late 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were interesting, hugely successful, and lots of random things. First of all, Grace very much revealed her political affiliation very early on.
Yeah, there's this bit. I love the way she talks. I adore the way she talks because obviously she's really posh and she has that beautiful diction, but she also has like surfer dude vibes of being really, really laid back.
Yeah.
Like, no, so like... I went to Oxford and then I became a spy. And she would say the most outrageous things, but just in this really beautiful voice.
And you know, already I'm doing it. When you start doing an impression of her, I found myself.
I know.
Lowering. Like, and Jack is very mellow as well and very chilled.
Tell me more about working for MI5.
Yeah.
Do you
think they're spies?
It's people like that who would be spies.
But musicians...
Carrying their cellos around the country around the world.
What, because they've got guns inside the cello case?
It's an excuse for travelling.
Genuinely, though, there must be musicians and showbiz people who have been
used by the secret services, because they go around. Look at Steven Seagal now, Bezzy mates with Vladimir Putin. They can go around the world almost with impunity.
Yeah, I watched a film with our sons the other day where that actually happened. It was an ex sort of an ex. She wasn't a spy. She was more like an international thief.
Right.
But she was in like a string quartet, and they hid all the stuff in the.
What was
music
the film
case.
Called? You got to recommend it.
I can't
now. That's the whole point
what
of this
the film
podcast.
I can't remember what the film was called.
Well, you're gonna have to remember, and I'll put it on the episode description.
Yeah, I know. I'll have to ask our son. But that thing that she said about Lenin, she said something like, "I always think about what it would have been like if he'd
Lenin had lived."
Lived, and I thought, "Hang on, what do you mean that you wish he did? And what would that mean?" I have no idea because I don't know about politics enough.
But. Well, yeah, no, I don't. But isn't there, I think there's a sort of general idea that certainly with political wings, that if there's a perfect person, because Lenin was almost not tainted by the day to day running of a government, and in Stalin's case, mass execution of millions of people. So they sort of he can become. Idolized and he was
the
too
Corbyn
he was perfect
of Russia,
yeah, because they never had to face up to actual power. Let's not get into Corbyn because I'm not gonna front up to any opinions.
No,
based on
I'm very neutral.
Today. But they were super interesting how they got together at university. The purchase history is fascinating. I think it would be remiss for you and I as a married couple to not really get stuck into one of the books Grace bought. Well, there's a couple that she bought. One was about non-monogamy, which I believe was called the Non-Monogamy Playbook.
So funny.
Exploring polyamory and open relationships with confidence. Now, this looks like a great read, Beth. the handbook for anyone curious about consensual non-monogamy.
Consensual being the operative word.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. So, this is written by someone called... Ruby Rare. That's not her
That's
real
a made
name.
Up name. It's a good one.
If that was her real name, she could only possibly write a book about non-monogamy. Ruby Rare. Interesting reviews here. So I probably shouldn't name them. Someone called Simon. I won't put the surname. A very helpful and enlightening guide, especially if you are a newbie or curious. The conclusion gives me such positive vibes. What does that mean?
It was a happy finish.
Happy finish! But that's the thing, though, isn't it? About... something like non-monogamy. And I felt tense. I felt tense to bring this up and sort of, so to speak.
Hang on, tense with Grace or tense with me?
Not tense with you. Tense with Grace and Jack to sort of bring it up because I didn't want to embarrass them. But I felt like when there are books like this about non-monogamy and you know, they're talking about the kind of the cave person instinct in all of us and how we're animals and there should be no shame in it. And they're sort of trying to give this high intellectual ideal to it. And all I want to say is, yeah, you just want to go and do some sex, don't you? That's really what it boils down. You just want to go and do see what you could do, see where else you can
put
it.
Yeah, I always sort of lean that way as well.
You just want to go, come on, it's funny. It's funny.
You want a gangbang.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a gangbang between all, you know, fully consensual people. That's absolutely fine.
I always imagine, though, in these... polyamorous or non-monogamous couples, that there is always one person who's really up for it and the other always. Person is going,
pretending.
Okay then, if you insist.
Oh yeah, it's fine. She's happy. And so
or is
so
that
I.
because the narrative of that is more interesting?
I think that, well, Louis Theroux did it, didn't he? His doc on throuples.
I didn't watch it.
No, you don't watch enough Louis Theroux. He's very good.
I find his docs really tense.
Why do you find Louis Theroux docs tense?
Really tense, because all his subjects are such nut jobs.
But that's because you live in a careful web of taboos and social inhibition. And the thing that Louis does is
break
go,
through it.
Yeah, so. And then just charges straight
into
it.
And all credit to him, but I just don't want to watch it.
I love watching them. But every single time he was that throuple one. And this may be a twist on it, and I definitely don't want to offend anyone in a throuple. But there was always one person, as you say, who was very much pretending. The other book that they talked about, and again, Grace was, I think she was kind of embarrassed about it, but like, I wanted to
talk. It was really interesting.
I hope so. And I hope she wasn't embarrassed. Maybe I was the one who's embarrassed. Probably that is the case. But she bought Sex at Dawn, The Prehistoric Origins of Modern Sexuality. This is by Christopher Ryan and Kakilda Jetta. Came out in 2010, and it's all about human mating.
Yeah, and the thing about this was I was listening to it thinking Sex at Dawn. I didn't understand the title. I thought it meant sex early in the morning. And that the reason that you would do that is because it was getting light so you could see predators. So you'd be having sex with one eye out for the bonobo coming to, like, attack you. And then I was like, oh, sex at the dawn of man.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
Yeah. The ultimate.
So I kind of devoted a lot of my intellectual bandwidth to thinking about the time of day.
Well, I assume that caveman-wise, we're programmed to have sex in the nighttime so that when the woman has been impregnated, she can lie back and let things happen.
No, I just think that you'd be distracted in the dark when people were going to attack you, because that's why somebody had to sit by the fire and watch out, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what they say. That's what the ADHD, that's the purpose that ADHD serves, sort of prehistorically.
To look out.
We're the ones looking out. Yeah, I can see a sarcastic comment here because I am I'm diagnosed with ADHD and I know what's coming. Do you want to say the sarcastic
comment? Well, you're a very sound sleeper is all I can say.
Well,
you've rarely seen the dawn.
If you set up.
I could carry on.
If you set up some sort of fire system, then I'd be happy to keep watch. That's what men are doing when they start watching telly. We've had some emails about this. You can email the show, tom@toasterpod.com. If anything, if you're interested in anything we bring up on the show, or you've got any products that you've bought on Amazon or anything you found in your purchase history. Sarah in Oxford said, love the podcast. Oh, thanks. LTP. Let's just go with that. LTP. Just start all your messages LTP. Guaranteed to get read out. Sarah in Oxford says, LTP, I can confirm I've read The Ethical Slut. This is another one, The Ethical Slut.
The Ethical Slut, yes.
And it's super interesting, but do be careful reading it on the tube.
Mm.
That does make a lot of sense.
That doesn't happen so much anymore because you'd read it on your Kindle, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you can hide away.
I remember reading 50 Shades of Grey on the tube and I read it on my Kindle. So, I mean, it was fine. Nobody knew.
No one knew. No
apart
one
from
knew.
The hot flush on my cheeks.
Yeah, of course. All right.
I found it very vanilla.
Did you read it at dawn? Well, of course. I mean, we're getting into very tense territory here. It's vanilla compared to what we do. Oh, please. The Ethical Slut, by the way, quite interesting. Interesting reviews. Can I read a review of The Ethical Slut?
I don't know. I can't see them.
Someone called Sarah says, I bought this book because so many people recommended it. I found it boring and obvious. There's not one line that made me think about myself or offered good or new advice. I felt as though all the insights were things I'd long known and considered. Perhaps I have benefited from a more open culture.
Because
this book challenged established ideas a decade ago. I also found the frequent use of the word slut a bit cringy. I get the reclaiming the word thing, but it still doesn't sit well with me. I'm glad these women made tons of money from the book, but it's really outdated now. Even with the new edition, didn't help me reflect on anything or learn anything new about myself and the world I want to create for myself. That's for the Ethical Slut, though. It goes back. It's a 20-year-old book. Dispelling myths and showing curious readers how to maintain a successful polyamorous lifestyle through open communication, emotional honesty, and safer sex practices. Shall we, for the purposes of the podcast, for research?
I'm not keen to go there, but each to their own.
Okay. I just think the thing that I always think about any form of, open relationship or affair, the admin, the diarising.
Well, I mean, I just couldn't be arsed.
I find it difficult to keep a secret when I've had an interesting visit to the toilet. How do you keep a family secret?
But also, I mean, like, I have to say I'm upstairs and I want to go down to the kitchen to do something. I have to write a note on my phone of the thing that I want to do downstairs in the kitchen because it just goes out my head. It just drains. Yeah. And imagine if you were trying to hold all that together and, you know, keep the secrets and do all the stuff.
And then go meet Steve.
The notes on my phone would take up its entire memory.
Gigabytes. And then you'd ask me to sort your phone out and I'd find the notes. Kate in London, I had a boyfriend who kept telling me to read Sex at Dawn. I didn't really understand why. Now I do. Now I know why we split up as well. Thank you, Kate.
Yeah. Good riddance, Kate.
tom@toasterpod.com. Any of the issues or topics that we bring up on the show, feel free to message. We've only got a couple more minutes on Clean Bandit, Beth, and then we're going to have a break, and then we're going to talk about Shalaka Kurup, who is this week's guest on Toaster Pod. So any other business from the fabulous Clean Bandit episode?
Oh, well, I want to talk about Jack's cats because I really wanted to see the cat in the rough.
Oh, my God.
Because it just sounded amazing. And also, I loved how he loved his cats.
Yeah.
But also, I wanted to make a point. They were called, I think, Jupiter
correct.
And Mavis.
Yeah.
And that had real, and they did sound quite posh, that had real Jupiter gets sent to Eton because he's the boy.
Yes.
And Mavis stays at home ready to be the maiden aunt.
It does feel like that.
I mean, that it's like those vibes.
Jupiter is...
He's going to be an MP.
Celestial dreams and big. Yeah, and Mavis is just going to... Mavis is going to stick around and wipe my ass when I'm old.
Yeah, and look after his kids.
Yeah. I know. I tried to bring this up in the moment, but I got snowed under because he bought the cat encyclopedia and all sorts.
I know, yeah. He obviously loves his cats, but he loves Mavis less.
Yeah, they're beautiful cats. They're British blues.
I love that cat, yeah.
So we should...
Gorgeous breed.
Yeah, there's a cat who lives near us called Crumpet, and you'll see it on our Instagram account. And they are
love
blue.
Crumpet.
Crumpet is like a dog. He just sort of comes up to you and he's big and chunky, but he doesn't have one of these collars on. So if you do have a cat, I wonder if this has worked for you. It isn't the full-on cone of shame, is it?
Well, no, I don't know. I haven't seen
it.
Didn't
see it. So
it's to stop them scratching themselves or something.
No. It's to make sure that the birds fly away when they approach, so they can't get the birds, which is ironic considering how much open relationships we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And yet he won't let his cat get the birds.
Hypocritical. So it just makes them look stupid and the birds laugh at them.
Exactly so. There you are.
Cat. Oh, my Lord above.
I'm now showing Beth pictures and I'll put links to this. Don't forget the links.
It's a watermelon, rough.
The links that I put on the show are affiliate links. Okay, so My Mate Bought a Toaster technically makes money if you buy anything through the link. Just, I have to tell you that. Here we go. This is Beth.
Oh, my God.
There we go. Do you want to describe what you're looking at here?
It's like an Elizabethan ruff, except it's a watermelon. So it looks like the cat has stuck its head through a slice of watermelon, and it's the best thing I've ever seen.
Now, some of them, these ones, are for after surgery.
Oh.
Well, they're to prevent licking and biting wounds, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought they were for.
The reason he'd got his one was to stop it killing birds.
Because you can't get your head near enough to the bird to eat it.
That's right. Although I think it makes noise as well. So
it looks fucking great.
It's a sort of, well, exactly. Then they also look like they're
I
in the court of Louis XVI.
Anyone with a cat should buy one of these.
They're really funny.
And it works, for some reason, a ruff works better on a cat than it would on a dog. I mean, it just looks magisterial.
Well, because cats have that, that's why they were worshipped as gods by the Egyptians, right?
I mean, it makes me want to get a cat.
We should buy the ruff. And then we're like, well, we have to buy a cat now because we bought the ruff. Okay, fine. So we're not going to have an open relationship, but we are going to buy a cat. That's the conclusion from part one. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a second to discuss this Tuesday's episode with the wonderful Shalaka Karup. Thank you very much indeed.
Subscribe, rate, review. Subscribe, rate, review. Subscribe,
rate, review. Subscribe, rate, review. And don't forget to leave a review at My Mate Bought a Toaster. Feel a little closer when you subscribe and rate and review to My Mate Bought a Toaster. And don't forget to say something nice.
Hello, welcome back to My Mate Bought a Toaster. Toasted with self Tom Price and wife Beth Murray. Hello, my wife Beth Murray.
Hello.
She was checking her phone then.
I was. No, but I was checking my notes on this, on this episode.
So, Shalaka, newish comedian. She's very funny. I think she's going to do brilliantly at Edinburgh this year. Yeah, she's really, really good. Take me through your initial thoughts, please.
Well, I mean, I have to admit that I am not a fan of Mitch Albom. Not because I've read his books. I've never read anything. This is just prejudice.
Yes.
I always think they're one of those books where they're writing about a sad thing and then everyone says it's sad. And I think, well, no, you just wrote about a sad thing.
Yes.
Is that what it is? Or am I completely
wrong? You're completely wrong.
Am I?
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, they're not that sort of thing. It's not,
Well, I'm also, misery also, porn. It did really, really well. So obviously I hate him.
I tell you why it's good. I'm
misery porn. I hate misery porn.
No, it's not misery porn. That's what I'm saying to you.
Oh.
What you described to me is when people... There's misery porn where you get the ridiculous, not ridiculous, but awful true life stuff, which is awful and tragic and terrible. But it's become an industry within...
Yeah, I can never understand why anyone wants to read those, why they're in Sainsbury's and they think, I'm going to read Daddy Please No.
Oh, it's awful.
Like,
it's
why
awful.
Would you be in the mood?
I know. And it's... Yeah, anyway. So you get that, but... The thing which annoys you and annoys me is the sort of literary misery porn when people feel like I've done a book and so now the kid has to die. There was one we read recently with our dad's book club, which is called...
Oh, I don't know. What?
My dad's book club is called...
Oh, Dicklet.
Dicklet. We did a book recently, and it was the guy who wrote... Oh, this is really going to drive me mad now. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going to get there.
I'm here, but I'm not going to help you.
He wrote a book about trees, which was amazing and massive.
Oh, I could help you, but I won't.
And then he wrote another book, and it was about a kid who has superpowers slash...
You said, didn't you say a word that's a clue there?
What?
Isn't he called Richard Powers?
Richard Powers! Thank you so much. Oh, my God. Richard Powers wrote a book. And
oh, yeah, you found it really miserable.
Yeah, because it was about this kid, and I'm going to do spoilers about the Richard Powers book. Now, hang on, let me look it up, first of all. So, he's a wonderful novelist, and the Overstory is insanely brilliant, right? The Overstory, I cannot recommend enough if you're looking for a good read. Again, I'll put a link to it on the show today. Bewilderment is about a kid who, big spoiler coming, at the end of the book, he dies, right? And it made me mad because it was totally defying all of the momentum and the themes it had built up, because at the end of the book, there's just a big old, and it was... Yeah, so that...
Well, I mean, it's that thing of like, you know, oh, I've written a terribly sad book that will make you cry. Well, if it's about a sad subject like a kid crying, well, then that's not much skill, is it?
No, exactly. But Richard Powers is an amazing novelist. Let's just be absolutely clear there. I've got to now put a link to that on the show. So Tuesdays with Murray is really good. The thing that annoys you, Beth, mainly because you're a writer, is how many good reviews it's had.
Yeah, it always winds me up.
It's unbelievable.
What was it? Something like 38,000 or something?
38,965.
Yeah.
And it's got 4.6.
4.6?
Yeah.
Well, that just makes me livid.
I do find it highly enjoyable.
So it's called Tuesday with Murray as well.
Yeah.
Which seems like an insult to me personally.
Yeah, of course.
As Beth Murray.
Your surname is Beth Murray. And also, as we often discover on Amazon, the weird categories. If you've ever bought a book in a weird category, let us know, tom@toasterpod.com, because Tuesdays with Murray is number one bestseller in mentoring and education.
Yeah, but I know why they have those. The publishers have them, because then you can get a bestseller flag in your weird category. But most people don't notice the weird categories. They just see the bestseller flag and they think, oh, it's a bestseller. But what it will actually be is something like... Number one in spiritual learning and enlightenment.
So, with that in mind, do you have a bestseller flag on your Amazon?
I have had bestseller flags. Uh-huh. And they sometimes they've been quite good categories, like humorous fiction, which is quite
broad.
You've
been number one in humorous fiction?
Things like that.
Oh, my gosh.
But then equally, I think I had one for sort of learning and education.
There you go.
Which was not quite as impressive.
But you still get to say number one in...
Exactly. That's what it's for. The algorithm.
Okay, so Tuesdays with Murray, that was one of Shalaka's books, quite a lot of books. Also, she bought, which was a real thing back in the day, He's Just Not That Into You. And I feel like that hasn't aged well, He's Just Not That Into You. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. I think it's a perennial. It was an episode of Sex and the City as well, where I think it was Berger, Carrie's boyfriend, was listening to one of Miranda's stories and just went, oh, it sounds like he just doesn't care. And they all went, no, what? And it was like this huge revelation and they were all going around, he doesn't care. He just doesn't care. And I don't know. I think it's still quite a message.
Yeah. But also the reaction of what? That can't be true.
No, how I've got to overthink this
and analyze
it and talk about it for months.
And if I switch it off, what else am I going to do? Talking of Sex and the City, and we will get back to Shalaka's shopping list very soon. You've been watching the new Sex and the City.
And Just Like That.
Yeah. Go on. Tell us the truth. Because there'll be listeners. Most of our listeners are women, and most of our,
all women love it. I'm not going to say anything that everyone hasn't said already. It's utter shit. But you kind of just have to watch it anyway. It's like the law.
Why?
Because everyone looks, everyone looks good and they're all wearing incredible outfits or mad outfits and they all live in these just gigantic, amazing apartments and swan around and they never seem to do any work, but they've all got loads of money.
Sounds like Crouch End.
It's much more glam. And it's just hypnotic, even though I'm just, it's a tragedy in a way, because Sex and the City in its prime was just so snappy and amazing, incredible television. And it's not anymore. But every now and then you just see this glimmer of what it was. And you think, there it is. And then it goes.
Right. Okay. And it's worth watching.
Yeah, I'll watch it all. And if they...
You do watch, more than anyone I know, TV and sort of... And I know you write your TV vlogs, but you do watch a lot of TV simply so you can go, that was rubbish, and yet you still watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I will watch stuff and I'll be thinking it's rubbish as I'm watching it, and I'll watch it anyway.
To be fair, many of the time I've watched Brighton Liverpool on a Tuesday night, knowing it was a crap game.
You know, it's a different feeling. I mean, I also will I will not watch something that I think is really good.
Yes, respect and avoid.
Yeah.
Respect and avoid. So, look, elsewhere on Shalaka's shopping history, there's many things to pick up on. Just not that into you, is there? The big inflatable cock, the sort of weeble.
I love that.
Cock.
That was really nice.
Yeah. You can punch a dick and it bounces back.
Mm.
It's a metaphor.
I thought of it as a kind of like pinata dick that you would just bash the hell out of to make yourself feel better.
Uncomfortable image, because when you do that, eventually the pinata explodes and spills its innards, which I'm not sure I love.
Pinata
though is, oh, that is true.
That kind of works, okay. That, doesn't it?
Maybe that's what you'd have at a divorce party. You'd have a pinata.
With his face on it.
You really go into that then? the thing I really enjoyed talking to Shalaka about was Nottingham. She had time there. She was quite down on it, but she loves it, really. We were talking about it afterwards. I hope that didn't come across as being neggy about Nottingham, because she really liked it. But she did her PhD there, and she was attempting to discover this, to put this theory forward, and she was wrong, and it's summed up in a graph, and she has this graph on her left arm. She has a tattoo that that displays 4 years of work was a mistake, and I think that is wonderful.
I like the idea of everyone having to get a tattoo to remind them of their failure, and I thought if I got one, it would just be a very small B, which people would think stood for Beth, but actually it stood for the A-level that I failed.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
B isn't bad.
It's not a A-level. Fail. Not
but
a fail.
I didn't get into the university of my choice because of this B that I got. And in the end...
What are you talking about? You went to Cambridge.
No, they let me in anyway, but I always felt like a failure because I didn't get in on my own merit. I let them in, I got let in.
Right.
And so I would have the B to remind me of that.
When you said that, I thought you meant an actual B as in the insect.
Oh, I should have that as well. That would
because
be quite
you're
good.
B and then the B and then
and
you're
then
scared
the B
of...
and then it would stand for the failure. Yeah. I like that so much. I might actually get a tattoo.
Okay. Well, my midlife crisis tattoo, and I'm not going to get a tattoo because my skin's so moly and I just don't feel like there's any part of my skin that I particularly want to celebrate.
Yeah, I always think you're going to get like maybe kind of flaggy, saggy, and crepey. Mm. And
yes, what I'd like to get is the recycling logo.
Oh, so that you get recycled?
Because I'm recyclable. We're all recyclable. I think that's very profound. I can tell you're looking away.
That's
to take
a bit
the
depressing.
No,
somehow.
I think that's
it's
very...
about a thing that will come into effect when you're dead.
Yes, I think it's a good reminder every day to remember. You'll eventually be mulch. Welcome to the show. Mm. So, elsewhere, pole fitness, aka pole dancing for fitness. Beth, when are we buying a pole?
It is very good for your fitness and strength. And I keep being told that I'm supposed to do weight-bearing exercises, and there's nothing more weighty than bearing your own body weight upside down.
Right, yes. Not yours, because you're so thin. Is that what you wanted? Is that what?
Yeah, thank you.
I wouldn't know which was the pole and which was you. I mean, it's fascinating. And she's very like, yeah, I've got a pole installed in the flat. And it's there for when I want to do pole fitness.
What I liked about this as well, and relating to the Clean Bandit episode too, is your guests for these episodes were incredibly intellectual, learned, academic, intelligent. Mm. And they'd also decided to do careers which didn't really rely on those things particularly. Mm-hmm. And they were all quite weird.
Yes.
I liked all that.
Comedians and, well, people, you know.
Well, people generally are weird, yeah.
Our booking policy is weirdos only.
But it was very evident in these episodes, the sort of inherent academic weirdness.
But there, with that comes a certain pride in it. Yeah.
Yeah, quite
right.
Yeah,
no, I do have a pride. I go pole dancing.
Yeah.
In my own house.
Good for her.
Have you ever tried to do pole fitness?
No, never. And I think I'd be utterly shit at it.
Do you want to describe to the listener what happens when you try and do Joe Wicks and you have to do press-ups?
Oh, God. I mean, it's just awful. It's why I hate doing, what is it called? High interval training?
HIIT.
Because everyone tells you, oh, you know, you do it a couple of times and then all of a sudden you will get to do 20 press-ups. Mm. It just doesn't happen. At the beginning, I could do 2 push-ups and now I can do 2 push-ups.
It's because you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah, that's yeah. I mean, that is possibly true, but I still don't believe in it.
Okay, so I'm not going to get you a pole.
No, I don't want one, thank you. I can think of many things that you can get me, but not a pole.
Yeah, it would be a weird addition to the house, wouldn't it? That's what I was trying to dig into with her, like, when people come to visit and stuff, and you're like, yeah, you're in the spare room, ignore the pole.
Also, the thing that she said about gravity holding it up and physics being the thing that keeps it up, yeah. I didn't get that, and I thought I would be so worried about that falling down or not bearing my weight that I wouldn't want it for that reason too.
It's also worth at this point very quickly describing our eldest child, who bought himself a pull-up bar in a moment of madness, came home,
the pull-up bar,
and I set it up for him. And I put him into position, right? Because he's so short. I held him up, and he held onto the pull-up bar, which, you know, those ones that fit along a doorway, and scratch my brand new paintwork in the house. And he held himself there, and I was like, "Go on, then, drop yourself down." So he dropped himself down, and still dangling. And I said, "Go on, then, put yourself up." And he just went, and very much like a bat sleeping, he just. I just left him there. He couldn't drop down. He was too high.
Bless him. And it's never been got out again, has it?
No, he's still there.
No.
Oh, the pull-up bar.
Yeah.
Oh, another, you know.
Absolute waste of money.
There is something about, and I wonder if you've got this on your Amazon. Have a look. tom@toasterpod.com. We're really keen to hear from you. Those purchases, that are, they're always 30 quid.
Always.
It's the 30 quid purchase that you get. Oh, go on, then 30 quid.
I got that hand massager from Amazon for 30 quid. And this week I took it to the charity shop.
Yes, you did, because you were getting slightly numb hands after using it. That's our question, right? That's how we're going to end today's episode. The big question is, what is your 30 quid Amazon purchase? Why did I get it? Who cares? The 30 quid purchase. Let us know, tom@toasterpod.com. As I said earlier on, there is going to be a load of links in the episode description. Those are affiliate links. So therefore, most of, hopefully, the products and things that we've talked about. I've got to try and find a Weeble Dick now. To put a link
That'll be fun.
Yeah, so if you click on it, it's going to say to you, this raises money for toasterpod.com or something. So just so you know, that's there. If you don't want to do it that way, absolutely fine, obviously, but that's what I have to tell you. What else was I going to say? Go on.
I've got a thing to say, which was, I loved your discussion about things that make you cry.
Oh, with Schlucky, yeah.
That was really nice. And I found it quite moving. And the thing that makes her cry is kind of... the success of other people, even if she thinks they're shit. Mm. So it's the golden buzzer moment in Britain's Got Talent.
Yes.
People standing and giving an ovation.
But I would say the context is a showbiz context as well. An audience.
Yeah. But what I liked about that is her saying, even if I think it's garbage, if I get swept up in the joyous emotion of other people congratulating this person. Mm. And I thought, that's like the opposite of Schadenfreude.
Yes.
And so I looked up what the opposite of Schadenfreude is. And do you know what it is? It's so pleasing.
What?
It's Freudenfreude. She's got Freudenfreude. Isn't that lovely?
What a wonderful moment to leave today's episode on. Do you know what? That word alone, you finding that word, there's an imaginary audience here and they're all standing up and applauding and I'm getting emotional.
And Shalaka is crying.
Oh my God. Freudenfreude.
Freudenfreude.
What a wonderful way to end things. Next week on the show, Al Barry is going to be my guest on Tuesday. Fantastic stand-up comedian. And hopefully, if we get time, we will do this again. All emails to tom@toasterpod.com. See you soon. Say goodbye.
Bye.
It's my mate, what a toaster. Oh, it's my mate, what a toaster. Yeah, yeah. My mate, what a toaster. Oh, toaster for my love.